Blog Talk Radio. Today is Monday, September 10th, 2018, and this is Foxology. I am Silver Ray Fox, your host. Happy, blessed Monday, phenomenal people. I hope you are off to a deliberate and dashing start to the day and the week. You know what they say, full steam ahead. That's what we got to do. Go get it, whatever it is that compels you positively forward. Grab hold of it with all your heart and your passion and pursuit, and hang on and hang in there until it's yours. Yes, it takes all that and then some to reach some of our goals, but you know what? If we stay on task and on track, the likelihood of us achieving those goals is, well, about 100%. How's that sound, huh? Yes, things do sometimes get in our way. Of course, I know all too well about that. Life happens. But when you know that you know that you know that you are destined for more and for greater, well, you just keep pressing until you get there. Now, listen, I didn't say you keep pressing until you get it all together. It's two different things. I said keep pressing until you get there, because sometimes that's the only way you're going to get it all together the way you want it. So anyway, my special guest today is someone who knows exactly what I'm talking about. She has pressed her way through some of life's great challenges, and she truly is a fighter, a survivor, a woman of courage and strength who keeps a positive goal in focus at all times. She is Stacy Lynn, a former attorney, a comedian known as Stacy in the field of entertainment. And she's also written a short ebook entitled As If It Didn't Matter, a chapter in the life of an overcomer. Stacy has managed to mingle life's trials with a glowing undertone of humor because she says, I see the world in funny. She is in my spotlight today, and I'm so happy to have her. Welcome, Stacy.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very, very much for having me.
Well, it's going to be a great show. I know that because we've had a lengthy conversation, and I was able to talk with you about some of the things that life has in your journey and some of the ways that you have handled it. And it definitely is a courageous, compelling, and inspiring story as well. And I definitely like having people on who have a special story of fortitude that they can share. Part of my mission with this program is to offer empowerment, and particularly one of my areas of emphasis is to offer encouragement, support, advocacy to women who are or have experienced issues of domestic violence. So I salute you for your courage, and truly know that the best is yet to come for you. And thank you again for being my guest and being willing to be very transparent about what you have gone through and are going through. I'd like for us to start the conversation today. You have had quite a life, and your upbringing was a particular challenge too. So let's start there, and I'll tell you why I'm doing that, Stacy. The reason I want you to tell it, because so many people go through things in life and they don't realize that other people have had it bad or worse or too. And the awesome part of it for all of us is that as long as we keep trying and keep pressing, things can get better for us. And that's why I want you to start way back with your upbringing, and let's keep moving through it. Okay. So tell people about that, because it's partly in your ebook. Like, go ahead and share that in your own words verbally now.
Well, first of all, thank you, because we have the same spirit in regards to wanting to empower women. So my life started off with, at the age of 2, my mother met my stepfather, and he turned out to be very abusive towards my mother. And so I watched horrific acts of domestic violence. I watched my mother just go through it for about 12 years of black eyes, busted lips. You know, I've seen her, you know, hearing her scream. It was a long time before I could even get the screams out of my head, hearing her scream at the hands of someone who professed to love her. And in my world, she would always say, "I'll kill a rock over you, Stacy." And he loved me and always expressed a love for me. He taught me many of the things I know, how to shine my shoes, how to present myself as a lady. In the home, he became a monster to my mother. And so I witnessed that until one day when I was about 12 years old, he just up and went back down south to his ex-wife. And we lost contact for a long time, but then he came back, and he came the year I graduated from high school. He reappeared in my life and came and got me and took me down to his home down south. And we had a visit, and we reconnected at that point. He stayed into my life somewhat marginally, but he was in my life and in contact with me until he passed away.
And you lost your mother sometime during this part of your journey, correct?
Yeah, my mother has been gone about 10 years now.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know that there was a lot of instances of very challenging things that occurred during that journey as well. And you were fortunate to have, again, some insight to how to keep it moving for yourself. How did you do that?
Well, at this point, I attribute a lot of why I'm still standing is through my faith, but I didn't get saved until around 1984, so I can attribute, I think, just having a certain type of fortitude that just comes from inside. Even though I watched my mother go through that, I also saw a strong woman who, she had a major disability, which rendered her unable to work in the normal work field. So she would clean houses for a living to supplement her Social Security disability. And she did that through her pain. She had scoliosis, so she had a curvature of her spine, so she really couldn't even sit upright or stand upright completely. So I watched this woman hold it down, take care of 5 kids. And she really loved us, too. And I think the fact that she never let us forget that she loved us, I think that's where my strength comes from, because I felt even my stepfather loved me. I think they both loved me. So I think that's what keeps me going, is knowing that I was loved and that I can love. Despite everything that's going on in my life, I still feel a deep need to connect to people and to love people and to trust them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I know that it's incredible the focus you had on your goals. You became an attorney. You got licensed in 3 states, even though you left that career behind. Tell us 2 things. How did you determine you wanted to become an attorney? And also, I know you fought for women in similar types of circumstances to help them overcome issues as well. So, mm-hmm. so how did the whole idea about becoming an attorney come to you?
To be quite honest, I never had much direction in my life. So I was sitting in, I was about to graduate. I was in my senior year of college when one of the senators, our local senator's son, approached me at a table in the cafeteria and said, "What are you going to do from here?" I don't know. He said, well, how good are your grades? And I said, well, they're good. I have a B plus average. He said, well, have you ever thought about applying to law school? And I said, no. He says, well, maybe you should. And so I did, and I got accepted into the University of Cincinnati, one of two schools I applied for. I applied for the one in Chicago where my boyfriend at the time was living, and the one in Cincinnati, the law school in Cincinnati where I was a student already. And I didn't get accepted in Chicago. That probably was divine intervention. But I did get accepted in the University of Cincinnati's College of Law. And so that's how I became an attorney.
And you served a particular type of population, you told me.
Yes, yes, that's the second part. Yes, I decided that I wanted to help people, and that was my goal. So I ended up practicing law largely in a public defender type position. I worked for legal aid. When I first got out of law school, I worked for legal aid in New York. That's my first bar license, is New York. And then I continued, when my children were born, I decided to help children in the profession. So in my profession, so I ended up working in the juvenile court system in Ohio. That's my second bar license. And so I represented children and their moms, or if need be. There were instances when children were being abused in the home because of the father, I had to represent the mother to help her get a divorce, to get out of the situation. So it was, that's what I did primarily through much of my practice. I ended up expanding the trial work because I loved the part of being in the courtroom and trying cases. So my practice eventually expanded to trial work. So I did a lot of different types of cases. But what was always near and dear to my heart was helping women, mothers, and children. And that's what the bulk of my practice ended up being, just that.
It's very interesting, Stacy, and I want you to elaborate as much as you can for the audience. It's very interesting how you were so strong in that area professionally, when in the backdrop of everything else, you were having some struggles with your own personal life and relationships. And all of those things, I know, have made you the courageous woman that you are. But reflect on that a little bit, because, again, I think the more transparent, the more revealing we are about our stories, it really does help a lot of other people perhaps come to terms with their stations in life right now, and helping guide them through to a place where they're stronger and wiser.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us, because you were doing so well professionally, but then you had a whole bunch going on behind the professional scene.
Yes, I did. You know something, I just had a little bit of an epiphany. You know, God prepares us for where he wants us to go. And having lived that life, having to get up in the morning and go to school, knowing that I left behind a mother was bruised and beaten, yet I had to go to school. I had to function. Despite what was going on in that house, I had to function outside that house. And so that's what prepared me, because unfortunately, I ended up in marriages that were filled with domestic violence. So while I was putting on a certain face at work and helping women who were in my position, I was battling the very thing at home. And it repeated. It was a cycle that I wish I could say, oh, I did it once, and that was it. It was enough. But no, I unfortunately can't tell you that. I can tell you that it repeated itself throughout my life. And then I was in domestic violence relationships more than not. And I managed to get out of them, but for some reason, I repeated the pattern of my mother.
Mm-hmm. Well, Stacy, that's not uncommon, and I don't think anybody can judge anyone. Sometimes a very difficult thing for people to understand, but it's your story. I know that you did find a way you found your own strength enough not to stay in those situations.
Mm-hmm.
And tell us where the light went on. I know you shared with me too, even as recent as the last year. You had another experience, and You also shared with me that you are totally committed to never letting it happen to you again,
yeah.
But you are also having to take some measures to be sure that you do get away from it.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us, fast forward and get us up to speed on that.
Well, I want to answer the first part of the question. What was my impetus? What caused me to break away from my abuser? It was my children. Because while I'm protecting other people's children, I realized I had to protect my children too. And so I left for my children. I left for their safety and for their sanity. And so they're grown now. They're all adults. And so at this point in my life, I'm living for me in the sense that there's things that I've always wanted to do that I put on hold. That's the comedy, the whole creative art, writing, all of that. So at this point, I ended up back in an abusive marriage again. However, I realized that I was dying in that marriage. And even though I was trying to put on that good foot face to the public and do my comedy and all that, I realized, no. And so I chose to leave the security of a marriage, because that marriage does provide some security. There's no question to that. So I left the security of the marriage to pursue the things that I want to pursue now and that I enjoy doing.
You know what I'd like for you to share, Stacy, again, just to shed some light. You told me that you had read about a study about the attraction that is between an abuser and women who become their victims. Would you share that?
And I just want to say that I've done counseling over the years, and my counselors have been wonderful. They've been wonderful. They've given me insight. And however, one told me about a study where you put a room full of men and women together, and invariably the abuser will be attracted to the person that they can victimize. And she will likewise be attracted to the person that will abuse her. There's something about that attraction, and I don't fully understand it. I may never understand it. I know that I've lived it, but I'll never understand how that is. But there's something there. There's an attraction there, clearly.
You know, I would like to read more about that. I had not heard about that study, and I've done some pretty extensive looking and reading and participating in workshops to learn more about it. I mentioned to you there have been several women in my life who are intimately close to me, relatives who have experienced it, and it's a kind of a thing that you can really miss because it's hidden so well, just like you were doing it with, you know, your work. And I felt so incredibly hurt that I did not recognize any signs of it whatsoever. So it's something that once you told me about that, I'm going to look a little further. I'd like to see what that study revealed and if there's any up-to-date information that both sides have shared to explain how that happened.
Can I just say one thing? I think there's something to that familiar spirit, because I have heard preachers preach about that, and I don't understand that either, but somehow that's that familiar spirit. There's something familiar, and that familiarity is, I didn't say that quite right, but anyway, that's what attracts the people. There's something very familiar there, and it just attracts.
Well, I'll try to learn more about it. You are a funny woman. I mean, I read your
Thank
book.
Thank you.
And I'm going to say a couple things about it because it's amazing. I've gotten to know you. We became friends on Facebook, and I just want to say a little aside about Facebook and friends, because I've met some of the most wonderful, wonderful people on Facebook, you being one of them, and it's just proven, and I'm sure you can say the same, to be just a phenomenal tool for making certain mm-hmm. connections with people that really pan out to be very positive in so many ways. So I'm really, really, really glad about that. But I learned about you, and you're funny. And here's what I was going to say. When I read your ebook, I wasn't as compelled to laugh, but I knew it was supposed to be funny because of the tone in which you wrote things.
Uh-huh.
But I tell you, I looked at it and I thought, okay, she says this is one chapter in her life. Could we even handle any more chapters? Because it was 12 pages of the most challenging type of reading, along with you being funny. I thought, oh, uh-huh. my God. This woman is a true, true victor. I am not kidding. And when you said a little earlier about how you're still standing and you really don't know why, well, we really do know why, because we know that faith, our faith in God can keep us standing. But I am telling you, I don't know if you could even write more than one chapter, because by the time you're done with the one chapter.
Well, and you know what? This is it. Well, yeah, the book is actually written, and I cleared with my family, is it okay for me to publish it? The book is written, and so this is a snippet. Actually, this is an updated version, because that was an update, because the book ended several years back. But because through it all, even with my mother, she had such a wonderful sense of humor, and I think that's what saved us. Because all of us have a wonderful sense of humor. And I think that's, and I really want everyone to say, it's going to get dark some days. It's going to get real dark some days. But you got to see your way through. And humor is, and laughter is medicine. It really, truly is. And I'm tiny, so I was always like, getting picked on and stuff. So I had to be that little class clown, too. I had to make people laugh to keep them off of me. So, so humor has always been my go-to. And I make people laugh all the time, and I love it. That's one of the things I love. I prefer making them laugh than getting them out of trouble. Honestly.
Well, I'm so glad that you are the way you are, because again, the way you described your circumstances, it just was enough. You know, you kind of, I was holding on to my chest. It's like, oh my goodness, what a story in one chapter, you know? But again, these are the kind of stories I like to share, because life is just not always so easy for everybody. And in fact, it's very difficult for a lot of people. And the stronger message here is that you can get through it if you just keep going, keep pressing. And you may not always know exactly why. Like you said, you know, you didn't always have direction, but you just got to keep going no matter what. We're pretty much at the end of the show. We just have a few minutes, Stacey. Two things I'd like to do. I'm going to post a link I did put your email address up in case somebody wants to have you on stage with them and doing your comedy act. Also, I know since I did that, you sent me the link to your ebook, so I'm going to get that posted on my show information as well. Is there anything additional as far as that goes? I know they can follow you on Facebook as well.
I'm on Instagram and Twitter. I'm on Instagram. I'm at Instagram on Stacey underscore Stacey 24/7, because I feel like I'm the same 24/7. I try to be consistent. And then on Twitter, I'm just Stacey Comic.
Okay.
So you can
send
me
those
on
I will do that. Send me those on my inbox, okay? The last thing I'd like to do, and we talked about this a little earlier, and that is, What would you say to women who are going, or men too, going through situations of domestic violence?
Get out. Get out. And you know, I know it's hard, and I know it's hard. It's hard to drag your children. I dragged my children out of state because I needed to protect them. And it was hard. And there were days when I just didn't know what was going to happen next. But I can tell you one thing, because I made that journey out, God was with me, and He provided. He provided every step of the way.
One more addendum to the question, because we talked about this too, and I know this to be true from other sources.
Mm-hmm.
There's still, even though that person has violently abused you, you still love them.
Oh,
can you speak to how to get away from that? Because I'm sure the security, the love, you know, it seems to outweigh a lot of things that are just horrendous to deal with. So with that, we're going to wrap the show up. So just say something in that regard, too, that may be helpful.
I think sometimes you have to leave the state. I think you have to really pack up and go far away. And I honestly, unless I think you have a very strong family, and that means you have to open up to them about what you're going through. They have to receive you as you are in the condition in which you're in. If you have a very strong support system where you are locally, then I think then that may work. But I think for me, I had to leave the state. I had to leave the state. I had to get as far away from that person as I possibly could. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Well, I sure do appreciate, again, you sharing so much with us today. It's been a pleasure getting to know you, Stacey. And as I said, I believe the best is yet to come for you. You have truly,
you truly
triumphed in some of the most difficult things. And that is just commendable. And I'm going to look forward to staying in touch with you as time moves on. I'd love to come and see one of your shows when
thank you.
Something that's nearby.
You can get special gifts.
So,
uh-huh.
Well, I appreciate that. I'm going to hold you to it, too. Thank you so much once again. And you enjoy your day. Please send me those links. And I'll chat with you. I'm going to try to chat with you again this afternoon. I'll give you a call about a couple of other things I'd like to talk to you about. So thank you. You stay blessed, and I'll talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
All righty, bye now. And I want to thank all of you, too, for checking in with me today to see what was going on the Foxology stage. I want to just thank you for just being one of my supporters, and I really do appreciate you guys listening to see what I have to share. Some stories are harder than others, and some of the topics are, and some are really going to help you in business and professionalism and all kinds of other things in development. But stories like this help another part of the mission in population as well. I do want to say this. I ask a lot of my guests to offer their encouragement to people who were listening, and sometimes that encouragement works for some and not for others. And just remember that this is Stacy's story, and what worked for Stacy may not work exactly for you. But as she said, the thing to do is just to analyze, evaluate where you really are and what it is that you may need to do in your particular situation. That's the true encouragement here. And to stay healthy and stay safe and look for where you can find the love and support that you need. Stay tuned, and I mean on social media, for the upcoming shows over the next few weeks. I've got some exciting guests that will be coming on to share about events and their books and things like. You will keep your eyes and ears peeled for what's coming up on Foxology. And please share with your social media family. That would make me so, so happy. So in the meantime, I want you to have a very, very awesome day. Stay blessed and be awesome. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.